This is Digital Story Podcast number 678, March 12th, 2019. Today's theme is Accidental Time Capsules. I'm Derek Story. Most of us have been shooting digital cameras longer than we realize. And even if we've been good about archiving, we probably haven't browsed those decade-old hard drives in a while. And then there are those memory cards we have stashed in a desk drawer somewhere. They are flattened time capsules, and it's time to pull them out and see what they contain. So here's a story that began with me searching for some CF cards. Remember those CF cards? You know, they were my favorite memory cards of all time. They were sturdy and they weren't too small, and I just felt like that they would never break. In fact, I can't ever remember having a CF card go bad on me. At any rate, I needed to find some CF cards because I had just scored this Nikon D700. And the reason why I scored this Nikon D700 that used CF cards is because I wanted a full-frame digital body to go with these manual focusing Nikon lenses that I've been using for my film work. I thought, wouldn't it be fun to have a digital body that I could put them on that had the same focal length as the film cameras, and so I could do a little digital work and a little analog work all at the same time. So I didn't want to spend a lot of money on this, but I wanted a good camera. And the D700 is a 12 megapixel full frame camera made by Nikon, and it's a very nice one. I really like those cameras. Lots of features and stuff for a camera its age just sort of blew my mind. I didn't realize that we were able to do copyright and printing then and all that kind of stuff. So I got a good deal on a D700 that it had a lot of clicks on it. But I mean, the shutter on a D700 is rated for 150,000 clicks. The one that I bought, I think, had 170,000 clicks on it. I got it for about $300. And it's easily good to 200,000 clicks, if not more, before the shutter have to be replaced. The shutters in those cameras they're robusto, to say the least. So I have the camera. It shipped with some batteries. I was in good shape. All I needed were some CF cards. And I had a stash of CF cards, not only from my Canon 5D that I once had and have sold since, but also from some of my Canon point-and-shoots. Yeah, point-and-shoots used to use, CF cards, which is funny. I mean, the little 400, the square metallic Canons, those are pretty nice cameras, actually. You know, a little itty-bitty thing, but it took this, you know, now, of course, it feels like now a big CF card. And so I knew I had some stashed, and I just had to find them so I could reformat them and then use them with the D700. Now, I have this thing about reformatting and wiping and all that kind of stuff, in that I never reformat a card, or I never wipe a hard drive or do any of that kind of stuff without fully examining the contents of the media. So sticking to my rule, this is a rule for life as far as I'm concerned. When I found the stash of CF cards in a desk drawer, I found four of them. One was like a 512 megabyte, but I also found a 2 gigabyte and a 4 gigabyte and even a 32 gigabyte, which I'm not even sure I could use with the D700. I'll have to look and see if it needs a firmware update or anything to use that, but I know I could use the 2 and the 4 gigabytes with it right now. So I go, all right, yay, score. And so first thing I did is have to find a card reader, right? A card reader to plug them in. And, of course I hang on to those two. So I found a nice SanDisk CF card reader with a USB connector, plugged it into the computer, and then just pulled the contents off each memory card onto the computer. And then I browsed them. I just started browsing them and to see what was on there. And oh my gosh, this is where the fun really began. My boys right now are about ready to graduate from college. They graduate this year. So, and they were on the 4-year plan in college because we told them they had to be, because we're paying for it. but they're graduating this year. So they are 22 now, fine young men. And so I'm browsing these cards and I start seeing these pictures of them from family vacations when they were 11 and 12, and I think even younger. And I'm looking at these shots taken, you know, with these older digital cameras, and they were just beautiful. I mean, they were absolutely beautiful. Not only did I get this wonderful trip down memory lane and actually see some shots that I don't even remember, but I recognized where we were and, you know, what we were doing and remember, oh yeah, that was that family vacation or whatever. And I'm looking at these images and I'm going, oh my gosh, this is a find. I'm sure they're on a hard drive somewhere, but to be honest with you, if I were to look for them, it'd probably take me a while. As I said in the opening, it's funny about archiving hard drives and stuff. You know, once we do that, if you're like me at all, I usually, you know, don't go looking for that content unless I need to find something specific. In other words, I rarely fire up an old Drobo just to browse all the images. And maybe I should. Maybe that is an extension of what I'm talking about today. Let's fire up our backup drives and see what's on there. By the way, just as a side note on all of that, I'm sure most of you realize that the thing about backup hard drives is that you do have to spin those platters every now and then, you know, just to make sure that everything keeps working. So even if you're not going to, you know, dig in there and start looking around for pictures and stuff, you should put it on your calendar that every 6 months or so, you want to fire those things up, get those platters spinning, you know, make sure all the circuits are working, you know, all that kind of stuff to keep them, you know, relatively healthy so that if you do need to get some content off them in the future, they'll work. Because, you know, a hard drive that's just been sitting there for 5, 6, 8 years without being fired up, it's no guarantee that it's going to fire up when you need it. You don't want to feel like you've done the right thing by archiving your work only to be shot in the foot because of something simple like not spinning those hard drives every now and then. So that's just a little bit of a side note, but it's a notable one, and it's something that, you know, if you haven't done that in a while, I highly recommend that you plug them in and make them work a little bit, even if you don't look at anything, just make them spin. All righty. So back to these memory cards. So I was thinking, these cards that I dug up for this project, they were like little time capsules. And not only did they make my day, I brought them home and they made everyone else's day. And as I'm looking at them, I'm in love with these shots. And so I'm dragging them into my photo management software, you know, so I can archive them and, you know, all that stuff, have them, you know, on a current computer, not on a hard drive somewhere. And I was just thinking, we really don't think about these memory cards, these old memory cards that we have that, you know, typically don't go bad. At least I've never had one go bad because it was sitting in a drawer. But we don't think about the stuff that may be on them and maybe the delights that are waiting for us if we just dig around in the desk drawer, pull them out, plug them into our computer, and see what's on there, and maybe just take a walk down memory lane. It's like finding an old photo album or something like that. I guess it's the equivalent of finding an old photo album in the digital age. So I just wanted to share that experience with you and say that it turned out really well for me. I have those shots now in my photos library, and I was able to go ahead and reformat those memory cards after I made sure everything was safe and sound. And I'm using the D700 now alongside the Nikon film bodies, and it's working out great. And the whole story is just terrific. And it's funny. I started shooting digital right about 2000, 1999, somewhere in there. And it's funny, we look up right now, and we're in 2019, two decades I have been shooting with digital cameras. That's just amazing to me. I mean, that just really blows my mind because, in a lot of ways, it does feel like yesterday that I switched from film to digital. Here we are, 20 years later, and I have those memory cards stashed in my desk drawer, and I pulled them out. It was really a nice afternoon. Hopefully, you have something like that waiting for you. If you get a good experience or something that you want to share, please post it on our Facebook page. You know, I'll post this story, the promotion for this podcast on our Facebook page, and put a comment there. And if you want to share something parallel to this, please do. U.S. Supreme Court holds that copyrights must be registered before plaintiffs can file infringement suits. So this is a follow-up, you know, to a podcast that we did a little while ago. And I've already had one follow-up with it when we got some excellent listener help in terms of clarifying a few issues. And then just last week, the Supreme Court rendered a ruling on this issue also. So I thought, hey, we should keep this conversation going, and I want to give you this update. Now, this article's from the National Law Review, and I have the link to the full article in the show notes. And so if you're interested and you want more information that I'm going to talk about here, just click on that link, and it'll take you right over to that article. And it's a really good article. And it's very easy to understand, too. It's not all jargony or anything. So, you know, take a look at it. But here's the gist of it that I want to share with you right now on the podcast. The U.S. Supreme Court held that bringing a suit for copyright infringement requires that the infringed work actually be registered with the U.S. Copyright Office, and that a mere application for registration will not suffice. That's pretty important. Now, this isn't too far away from what we've been talking about, but you know, now we have like final word on this, okay? The ruling makes it even more imperative that copyright holders register their works promptly if they wish to enforce their rights, on top of the already considerable financial incentives that U.S. copyright provides for registered works. Justice Ginsburg, writing for a unanimous Supreme Court, held that only after the application has been registered and issued by the Copyright Office, a process that can take months, may a plaintiff bring a lawsuit to enforce its copyrights. Now, if you go on to read the article on your own, they talk a little bit about how you can pay extra to expedite the process so that you can, you know, get it to where then you can go ahead and file an infringement suit and so forth. So there, just like any sort of ruling, you know, there are the crux of the ruling and then all the things that, you know, go along with it. But the bottom line here is that last paragraph that I read from Justice Ginsburg saying that only after the application has been registered and issued by the Copyright Office, a process that can take months, may a plaintiff bring a lawsuit to enforce its copyrights. So I just wanted to keep you up to speed, and if anything else comes to light on this, I'll definitely share it on the podcast. This is Monday right now when I'm recording this, so I'm leaving 4 a.m. on Tuesday to drive down to Joshua Tree. It's about a 9-hour drive from here in Santa Rosa. So I can get down there and get set up and be ready, because our workshop in Joshua Tree starts on Wednesday, and I'm super excited about that. So I have been, you know, methodically going through my checklist here over the last couple days, making sure that I have everything ready for the workshop. I've been slowly loading the Audi, you know, with different levels of food and equipment and all that kind of stuff. And then I'll do the final loading of the refrigerated goods tomorrow morning before I leave at dark 100 hour. So today's podcast might be just a little bit shorter than normal, because I have been really trying to stay on task getting ready for these workshops. Workshops, I love them. I love them. And part of what I like is that they are a very organized endeavor. And if you follow the steps correctly and you have a little bit of luck, you will be rewarded with an excellent experience. So I've been really focused on making sure that I stay disciplined and follow those steps. Along those lines, I'm starting to see some shots out of Joshua Tree right now. And first of all, the yuccas are blooming, which I've never got a chance to photograph that before. So that alone is making me very happy. And then on top of that, some wildflower shots are starting to surface from different areas inside the park, and I'm excited about that as well. We have good weather predicted for the week. If we get some clear skies without a lot of wind, then I'm going to be a very happy workshop leader, I can tell you right now. The main reason I'm bringing this up, other than to let you know that today's show might be just a little bit shorter than usual, is also because we're going to be sharing images and experiences mainly on the Facebook page, on Instagram, and on Twitter, okay? So there'll be stuff going on there, and I will post some stories on thedigitalstory.com. And if you don't follow me on Instagram and you want to, or Twitter or whatever, remember, if you just go to thedigitalstory.com, links to everything are there, starting with my Portfolio Box site on the About page, links to my Flickr site, links to Instagram, links to our Digital Story Facebook. They're all there in the nav bar. So you just have to go to, the only thing you ever have to remember is thedigitalstory.com. Get there, and then, you know, the links to everything else are right there. And you can look at the Instagram feed on your computer, you know, in the web browser. You don't have to do it on your phone. And of course, also, as I always mention, the show notes will be there as well, with links to, for instance, the article that I just talked about from the National Law Review. I have a picture of my camera bag. I opened it up. You know, it took me a week to get it ready. I have a picture of the camera bag that I'll share on social here real soon. And I have the bigger LowPro bag. And because inside of it, I have five camera bodies, which is, and a lot of this is because I'm the workshop leader, right? So I'm taking stuff for other people to play with. I have the Olympus OMD EM1 Mark II, which is the camera I'll be shooting with. OMD EM1X, which is the camera that I'm bringing for other people to play with and get to know. By the way, that X is really a nice camera in the hand. I don't know if you've read reviews where they talked about just the physicalness of the camera. It feels so good in the hand, both horizontally and vertically. I just actually just don't want to set it down. I just want to keep holding it and go, there must be something I could take a picture of right now so I don't have to set this camera down. It is really cool. And the other thing, and I don't want to give away too much because I'm going to do a review on it, but the other thing is that the twin battery holder for it that slides into the bottom, that is so boss. I just love that. It is great. And you just don't think about batteries anymore. It's really a beautiful thing. Just keep shooting and shooting and shooting. So anyway, I have that in there. And then I have the D700 that I was talking about, because I also have some Nikon AIS lenses that I'm using for a Nikon N2000 film camera. And I'm bringing the N2000 because it has the built-in motor drive, and I'm going to be doing some portrait work out in the desert. And then I have the Fuji XF10, and I think that's everything. So I have two Nikons, two Olympuses, and the Fuji. A bunch of great lenses to go with it. I'm ready. I'm ready for the desert. So anyway, stay tuned. You know, make sure that if you're going to follow me at all on anything, do it this week, because I'm hoping that we have some great shots, not only from me, but from everyone else. Interesting stories on the Red River blog. This is something that I can't believe I haven't talked about, maybe ever. And that, you know, I talk about all the cool things that Red River Paper has online, including their Facebook page. But I don't remember talking about their blog. And so I stumbled across this the other day. And I have to say, I was a little embarrassed because I should be sharing this. They actually have a terrific blog. I have the link to it in the show notes. They keep it up. And they have articles there about all sorts of stuff, you know, road trip photography, wildlife sanctuaries, smartphone accessories, you know, all sorts of cool stuff. So in addition to everything else that's going on with Red River Paper, you know, all the printing specific stuff, the supplies, tutorials, the reviews, all that, they also have just a general photography blog that's a lot of fun. And I highly, you know, recommend that you take a look at it. Just go to the show notes, click on the link. It'll take you right over to the blog and you can check it out. If you have a film camera that needs a good home, I talked about this a little bit last week. I want to bring it up again this week. If you have a film camera that's just taking up space in your closet and you don't think you're going to use it, then you can donate it to the Digital Story, and that is like pledging a donation. Very thankful for it. I refurbish it, and then I put it in the film camera shop, and I get it into someone's hands that will use it. And I cannot tell you how excited people are when they, you know, order a camera from me. A lot of times I'll get a note with it and going, you know, I can't wait to get my hands on this, or I wanted this back in the day when it was brand new. Or I'm getting it for my daughter who has a class at the local community college. You know, all these stories, it's not just an order for a film camera, it's an order for a film camera and a story. You are making people happy who love film photography or who want to get into film photography. If you want to contribute to that, just use the contact form that's on the Nimble Photographer. That's thenimblephotographer.com. You'll see, you know, contact right up there. Just send me a note. I'll get back to you on you know, how to package it up and ship it off. Of course, a huge thank you for your contribution. If you're interested in being an Inner Circle member, and I highly encourage you to, because like you'll notice this week that there isn't a regular podcast sponsor. I mean, we have Red River Paper who always underwrites the show, but you know, someone where I have to, you know, discuss, you know, their particular service or item, and I don't worry about it those weeks when we don't have you know, a sponsor, where I have to have a sponsor spot. That's always the second story for those particular spots. And the reason why I don't have to worry about it is because our Patreon members allow me to pass on sponsors that I don't want. Sponsors that I don't want to talk about. I could always have a sponsor in that second slot, but it may not be something that you want to hear. Whereas if you look at the sponsors that we have had in that second slot, we have had some really great ones. You know, we're just coming off a terrific campaign by Portfolio Box. You know, they're wonderful people. They have a great product. I get excited about it. It was time for me to renew, and I just renewed my Portfolio Box site for another year because I love it. I can't imagine living without it. Those are the kind of sponsors that I want there. And sometimes I have to wait a while for them to appear. And while I'm waiting for them, I'm passing on sponsors that just aren't someone that I think that you would want to hear about, you know, taking up your time. And we all listen to podcasts where there are sponsor spots that we're going, why am I listening to this, or why is this person making me listen to this? And I don't want to do that to you. Become an Inner Circle member. There are benefits to it. And not only will I thank you, but, you know, everyone else that listens to the show will thank you too for saving them from bad sponsor spots. If you're interested in doing that, all you have to do is click on the tile that's on every page of the Digital Story. There's a Patreon tile there. Go over, take a look around, and become an Inner Circle member. And I will thank you for it every week on the podcast. Thank you, Patreon members. Thank you, Inner Circle members. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I'm going to finish packing. I'm going to get in the Audi A3, and I'm going to get on the highway, and I'm going to head down to the high desert. And I can't wait. Those of you that will be meeting me there, I've got a great workshop put together for you. Can't wait to see you. Can't wait to work with you. Can't wait to just hang out with you. Half the fun. Until next week, have a great week. Go take some pictures, and I'll talk to you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.